and we can speak differently in the heavens what's on that baby's neck. So let's all close our eyes. Reach up to heavenly, because you are actually connected to heaven, and let it be done on the earth as we see it in heaven. So Father, right now we know you have a plan for this baby. We know that you have more for this. So we just speak against that knot, against that bump inside that baby. And we just speak not only a normal life, God, but a supernatural life inside of it. Amen. Amen. Let's continue to do that. Amen. I think it's a big deal. We so many times we connect one time and we let it go. And when our job is really to stay connected with the heavens, right? My job is to let it be done on the earth as it is in the heaven. And how do I know that? Because I put one foot here and one foot there, and I bring what's there to here, and I let people know that, right? And how do I let them know that? I let them know that by my life, by what's going on, what I feel, what I sense, what's happening, instead of telling everybody they're going to hell because they smoke cigarettes or they drink beer or whatever, instead of producing an atmosphere that people can change in, I try to get them to change before the atmosphere is here, right? Amen. So a couple weeks ago, Alan began his sermon. He said, "The river of life is flowing out of me," and he said that was a scripture, and it actually is, right? And we actually, the problem with that whole scripture is we think the river of life is coming out of me based upon what I do. See, so that's what religion does. It says, you have a river of life flowing out of you, but it's based upon what you do. It's based upon what you watch. It's based upon how you think. It's based upon what you say, or if you don't say a cuss word, or if you whatever. It's not based upon that whatsoever. It's based upon Jesus inside of you, and out of that, a river of life is flowing out of you. Does that make sense? So if we could actually change that around a little bit, we would begin to be what he's called us to be. Amen? See, when I begin to walk that out, when I begin to see, here's what we do. We've heard that analogy about the butterfly and the metamorphosis, right? So a butterfly is a caterpillar before it becomes a butterfly, and it eats green leaves, and it crawls on the ground, and it lives that way. It's what produces life. But when it becomes a new creation, a new thing, and then it comes over here, and now it didn't have to try to do the things it was trying to do. It became a new creation. And the very thing it is now, it hates the very thing it used to do. It used to crawl on the ground, and it used to eat green stuff, and now it flies everywhere, and it eats the nectar off of flowers, and it doesn't have to try anymore to be what it needs to be. It is what it is, right? And so we, as humans, we stay over here as a caterpillar. We say we're a new creation, and we go over there, and we taste the nectar in times. We come to church, or we come to places. We taste the nectar, but then we come back and live in this place, and we're not made for this place anymore. We weren't ever designed for this place, but we stay living in this place with that place as somewhere in the future and something that we can't see. It's time that we move over into that new reality of what's happening inside of us, right? Alan says our job was to encounter God, and there was no way that we could have joy without this relationship in this relationship. So we've been learning that all this whole year about this relationship. It keeps going about this relationship. People keep saying, hey, listen, when are we going to quit doing this relationship? We're not. We're not. We're not going to quit talking about this relationship, because it's this connection with heaven that gets us to that place, right? He talked about not knowing our purpose, and most of us think that our purpose is getting up and working on Monday through Friday, finally enjoying Saturday, sleeping in, maybe having some breakfast, maybe going somewhere, coming to church Sunday, getting up and doing that same thing over and over and over again. And can I tell you, that's not your purpose. That's your purpose when you were on this side. See, that was your purpose. That's what we did. That's what we did when we lived on this side. But when you became a new creation, we still think our main purpose is to doing the things that happened before we became a new creation. And we allowed each other to stay over on this side instead of moving over to the side that we're called to be. Does that make sense? See, the natural world has become our purpose. It's not true. It's not true. You've been made for more than that. You've been designed for that, right? Alan talked about God's purpose for humanity was that the Trinity and I would be one. That he would live inside of me and I would live inside of the Trinity. That Jesus was going to die so I could restore my relationship with God. So God and humans could become one. See, before I gave my life to the Lord, that's not the way it was. But when I gave my life to the Lord, that's the way it is. So why am I living the way it was instead of moving over to the place that I is? Right? And so why, what keeps us locked into that place? What keeps us from moving from that side to this side, right? What keeps us from doing that? It's our mind. We keep getting stuck. He talked about Luke chapter 4, 16, when Jesus came back from Galilee full of the power of the Holy Spirit. All the miracles happened because of the power of the Holy Spirit. All the wisdom came from the power of the Holy Spirit. His calling came from the power of the Holy Spirit. He could see because of the power of the Holy Spirit. He could grow because of the power of the Holy Spirit. All problems are solved through that relationship. But it's like we hear that, but we don't connect to that. And I think we don't connect by that because I'm trying to do it. See, last week I told you this vision, maybe 2 weeks ago, that in worship I'd closed my eyes. And I know, it sounds crazy, but it was like I went to heaven. And in my mind, I was in heaven. And as I was there, the throne was there, and the stars were dancing, and there was these white lights that were dancing, and the angels were dancing, and they were moving such a move. This angel, Anna, said to me, she goes, I'm like, I'm trying to do it. She goes, stop trying to do it. I'm like, but how am I going to ever dance? How am I ever going to move with this dance if I don't stop trying to do it? I've been taught my whole life, nobody likes a quitter. You should continue to try and try and try again. And so she said, close your eyes. She goes, because the truth, it's inside of you. Trust what he's placed inside of you. Trust what he's done inside of you. So I began to trust what he did inside of me. And when I allowed that thing from the inside out to do, I began to move with the dance. It was incredible. And then Dwayne came over and woke me up and said, it's time to go preach. I'm like, oh, Dwayne, okay. But I'm telling you, we keep doing that. We keep trying to do it from the outside instead of trusting what he did on the inside, right? So we don't trust what he did, so I have to bring my own discipline, my own ability, my own stuff, so that way I get a little bit of credit for doing some of this stuff that he's already done inside of me, right? Instead of, hey, listen, it's all about what he's done, okay? Harvey talked about last week that God has a plan for us and a future for us. That he was actually raised in church, and he did well in church. He was in every committee. Everybody wanted him on the committee because Harvey was disciplined. He knew how to work. He was given that ability by God to see and do things, and he was on every committee, and every pastor wanted him on that committee. But he knew that there was more. He wasn't satisfied with that because something inside of him was saying, this is not it. Something inside of him was crying out, this is not it. And I feel like in the church today, it's crying out going, this is not it. It's not about here. It's not about this building. It's not about this. And I think there's something inside of humanity that's crying out saying, there's more out there than what we've been doing. And we're out looking for that. Amen. Then he told us the story about us being eagles, but we were being raised as turkeys. And I'm like, is he calling us a turkey? Is he calling us an eagle? Which one's he, you know? But he was showing us it's a place that we're eagles living in the midst of turkeys. And I felt that way with you guys. Just kidding. That was a prophetic word. And he finished with the purpose was to have a relationship with God. So, yes, I do believe that there's a purpose, but to have a purpose and to be joyful in this world, then we've got to understand that there's something more. I really believe, I was watching a thing on History Channel the other day, and we're in the greatest time of history that ever was. The scientific breakthroughs that are happening daily are absolutely unbelievable. Men are stepping into quantum understanding, which is where the light, the sound and light moves faster than we can catch it. We can actually stop it. We can catch up with it. It's crazy. That genetics has been mapped so well and manipulated so well now, it's incredible what they can do with it. That the radical movements that are moving across the earth is incredible. And I think that humanity is awakening up. I think what's happening is we were created for more than this. See, and I don't think that this world can actually contain the humanity of what God's placed inside of humans. And what's happening is what God's placed inside of humans is getting bigger than what the world can take. And so there's something that's beckoning men to another place. And so if this world can't give to me what it's beckoning, then I've got to assume that there's another place that's calling me to live into instead of the place that I'm living now. And I feel like that's what's happened. I think that it's accelerating faster and faster and faster. I think revelation is coming. I think people are changing. I think this is the greatest moment in time of history because humans are waking it up and saying, I wasn't created to be here. I was created to be here, and that world can't hold me there because I can't be just a mere man because he lives inside of me and I'm part of the Trinity. Right? Because if he lives inside of me, I'm in him and he's in me. What's that mean? That means we're one. There's something happening there. Amen? So this morning I want to talk to you. I know that some of you are not going to like it, but that's okay. I want to talk to you about angels. I want to talk to you the other side of creation that we've just let go. There's another side of creation that was created, and he created it, and when he created it, he created it for a purpose. He created it for a reason, and we've just kind of put that on the sidebar because we didn't understand it. We didn't know about it. We didn't have any clue about it, so we just kind of left it go. But I think it's tools that's given to us to help us go to where we're going, right? You have ministering angels. The Bible says you have ministering angels. The Bible says that you have a guardian angel. You have these angels that watch over you, that guard you, that protect your way. That's all over in the scriptures. Jesus walked with angels. Jesus walked with the animals except for deer. He didn't like deer. He let them be shot. Right, he wanted them eaten. No, just kidding. So all of this happens, but we just kind of blow that part off, right? Because it's past what we did know, but I think there's a place that we're supposed to know, right? But it's crazy. We've decided a long time ago if something was new, it was too scary, then you were risking too much, and you can't mess around with that because if you mess around with that, then you could get something that you don't want, and that's not true because the Bible says if you ask your father for bread, would he give you a snake or would he give you a rock? Right, no, he won't. I mean, he's a good father. He's a good father. He wants the same thing. I remember a story when me and my brother was living in a home, and he brought home, who can remember freshen up gum? Freshen up gum, that's right. And it was gum that had a juice in the middle of it that flavored that was so good. But we never got candy. We never got gum. And I remember my brother bringing it home. And when he brought it home, the lady that was taking care of us says, what is that? He said, oh, it's this new gum. It's got this juice inside. She goes, that's dope. And I'm like, and she took it and threw it away. And I'm like, oh, I wanted a piece of that gum so bad. But isn't it crazy how we don't believe in the next thing that's happening? Then we got to talk bad about the next thing that's happening. We got to dismiss it because it's something new to me. I don't know where I'm going. So I've got to always degrade that instead of going where I'm supposed to be going, right? I think that so many times that we are afraid of those things, we're weary of those things. I talked about months ago about where there was people that I know who their mama didn't allow even old maid cards in the house. You weren't even allowed to have old maid cards because old maid cards were from the devil. Or they couldn't even have a game in there that had a die in it, a dice, right? Because dice were from the devil. And it was like we gave the devil way too much credit and ruined a lot of kids' lives, right? And so, but we didn't know, and it wasn't because they were bad parents; is they didn't know, and we weren't for sure how good God was. But as we've learned how good that God is, and He's always good, and He hasn't changed, and then we should open up into that place, right? And I think that we're in a critical time of the church right now. I think this is an unbelievable time of the church where the pendulum is swinging. It's swinging to the left, it's swinging to the right, and it's trying to get to a place, right? It's where the old generation is leery of walking where the new generation wants to go. It's where the new generation are like, oh my goodness, the old generation's taking this place, so I don't want nothing to do with that. It's crazy that I don't really have to worry about the devil because the new generation and the old generation can't come together. Instead of the old generation going, hey, I know that there's something new and we're going to keep moving into this place. And the new generation come and say, hey, listen, the stuff that we've learned back then was old revelation, but I got some new revelation to take us to a place. They just remove themselves from the revelation, even though they've been given the revelation to help us walk into that place. Instead of walking old and new together, right? I remember when Tyler was a little boy, he always wanted to hang out with older people, older kids. Have you ever seen those younger kids want to hang out with older kids all the time? They're almost being a bother, right? and they're always wanting to hang out with the older kids, always wanting to, and the older kids are like, oh my God, does these little kids have to hang around us all the time? Not realizing that it was only a couple years ago when they were the little kids wanting to hang out with everybody else, but they forget that where we're at and how that works and how the old and the new works together to get us to that place. And I believe that the church is going to swing to that, amen? So whether you're old generation or your new generation, you have something to give or bring, and we need to walk that way. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. So if anybody is in Christ, he'd become an entirely new person. Say to the person beside you, say, you're an entirely new person. So why are you acting like yourself? Amen? That's what we should say to each other, right? And it goes on to say this, right? All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything fresh and new. So that means your old identity is gone. Your old life of sin is gone. The old power of Satan is gone. Religious works of you trying to please God is gone. Our relationship with the world is gone. Our old mindsets are gone. We're not reformed or simply refurbished. We're a brand new creation, a new order, a new thing, a new rule, a new command has happened. And I feel like that we haven't really got into that yet because it's easier to work in this realm instead of moving over to this realm and allowing this realm to begin to take place inside of our lives. I believe what happens is we attract where we stand. We attract what we believe. Whatever you believe, you attract it to it. So if you want to, it's okay. I think that Jesus loves you if you want to stay here. I think Jesus loves you if you want to stay here. I think Jesus loves you if you're sitting in the heavenlies. It doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. It's not changed by what we do. Numbers 13:33 says, we saw the Nephilims there. The sons of Anak are part of Nephilim and were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were grasshoppers. We were grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were grasshoppers in theirs. So as they saw themselves, they really was. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is to do immeasurably more than all we can ask and imagine, according to the power that's already at work inside of you. So whatever power's at work inside of you, you actually can move more, right? So the heavenlies are going to join in with the power that's already working inside of you. I believe that we attract what we honor. So if you want healing and you begin to set your eyes upon healing and you begin to do that, then actually you attract healing. When you honor the prophetic, I think that you actually bring on the prophetic. When you honor dreams and visions, I think the more times that you have dreams and visions, you do that. For a long time, when I would go to bed at night, I would say, Lord, I know that I'm not stuck here. I may have to sleep as a human, but if it's true that I'm living the heavenlies with you, then I should be able, my spirit shouldn't have to go to sleep. It should still be able to do things. Right? And so I would say, hey, I just want to go minister to people because there's too many people to minister to when I'm awake. So can I, when I go to sleep, can I still my spirit go minister to people? So I would say that every night when I went to bed. Hundreds of people came to me throughout that season of my life and goes, you were in my dream last night. And I'd go, was I naked? They're like, no. I'm like, okay, good, good. Then I know it was working. I know it was working. I know where we were moving to, what was happening. Something was changing inside of that. Okay? When you become a new creation, it wasn't a ticket to heaven. Now, that's your destination. That's where you're going to go. But that wasn't the reason it was for. When you became a new creation, it had nothing to actually do with the day that you catch the bus and go up there. It had nothing to do with that. That had nothing to do with your purpose or your destiny. That was just where you were going to end up at. Your purpose was to create an encounter as I'm encountering God and people come around me as I'm encountering this, then the things around me change because they actually encounter the same heaven that I'm encountering if they're in my space. But I think what happens when you're on this side and you're encountering the world, then the people around you get to encounter the world. So there's no life that comes out of you because you're not where you're supposed to be at. But when you get over to the place that you're supposed to be at, then what happens is when you get around people, they start getting what you're getting. Not because of what they're doing, but because of what you did. So when Jesus went to all these places, when Peter and Paul would walk down the streets and the shadows would heal people, it wasn't them. They just got to participate with where they were walking at. But we try to live over here and tell people how to get over there instead of getting over there and letting people see where we're at and they get to encounter where we're at. We're over here telling them how to get them over there. And we're not even living over there. But we know how to get there. We know all the rules and we know all the words and we know how to get there. We can say, don't cuss, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do all that stuff to get there. But the truth about it is we're doing all that stuff and we're not there. And we wonder why the world's not changing. And the world's not changing because the world says, hey, listen, you're doing the same thing I do. And it ain't changed a thing. Instead of walking into that place and seeing things change, amen? You're one with Yahweh. Isn't that hard to say? I mean, really, it's hard to say. I'm like, am I going to get struck by lightning if I say that? You're one with the Trinity. You're a part of that because Jesus is inside of you and you're inside of Jesus. I mean, so it's the things that we just haven't went to that place, right? Bill Johnson said it this way. He said, faith actualizes what you realize. Now, that's not the way I say it. I say you recreate what you realize. You actually produce what you actually, where you live at. Whatever you live in, you're going to produce that around you. So if you want to live from here, you're going to, it's easy to see because the circumstance around you will be from here. If you want to live from here, it's easy to see because the circumstance around you will be stuff from here. So you don't have to guess where you're living at and whatever circumstance you're at. You can just look to see what the fruit around it is and say, oh, I don't know that I'm living in the right place. I don't know that I'm walking in this right place. Amen? See, Jesus is the original blueprint of your lives. He's the prototype. He's the firstborn of many sons. So we shouldn't settle for being less than what he actually is. We should refuse to lower ourselves to just a Christian life. Because he's the prototype, so if he's the prototype, that's what it's supposed to look like, then the Christian life in this human place isn't the way I want it to look like. Because that's not the way he looked like. So this is what I should settle for. Romans 8:29 says this, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many sons and daughters over here. So the whole purpose of that was to get us over here, and for some reason we want to stay over here. And I think that so many years we've just allowed this to happen. I mean, if you go back and study the Catholic Church, you see the Catholic Church, they love angels. They put angels everywhere. Matter of fact, we used to talk bad about them, about the Catholic Church and the angels. And I had to go back and repent. I'm like, oh, sorry about that. Sorry about talking bad about you guys. And then I just began to open myself up and begin to say, wow, I can't afford to ignore what he created on that side just because I'm living on this side. Just because I don't know what it looks like or what happens or what it is, there's got to be more on that side because something's calling me from that side because this world isn't giving me what I need from this side, so something's going to happen, amen? It's like going outside and pretending there's no trees. But we see the trees. I mean, everything says that there's trees and everything that says there's angels, the Bible actually says angels in it just as many times as the Holy Spirit, but once. And we talk about the Holy Spirit all the time, but if you were to dare talk about angels, somebody sent me an email one day, and they said, hey, listen, you're worshiping angels. I said, I didn't say that. They said, well, you said you was talking to angels. I said, well, I talked to my dog this morning, too, but I'm not worshiping him. Right? I mean, you know, because we don't know. We don't know what it looks like, right? And I think the key to where we need to be is our awareness that he created that side for a purpose. He created that for a reason. He created that. And so it's expected that I'm going to walk into there because everything's leading me to that place. In Hebrews 13:2, this scripture really got me because it said, forget not to show love unto strangers. We all believe that, right? And then it says, for thereby for some have entertained angels unaware. So that means that if that's true, that some people in this room have entertained angels and they were unaware of it. So if some people entertained angels that was unaware of it, that means that some people were entertaining angels and they were aware of it. I want to be on the aware side and not the unaware side. And I think I've been unaware for so long, but the lines of humanity and the spiritual in my life is beginning to blur. They're beginning to move outside of that place, amen? And I'll tell you, it's been happening to me for a little while now. I had a big tree that I needed cut down, and a buddy of mine came over and he said, "Hey, I can cut that tree down." I said, "Okay." And so I said, so he looks at the tree. I said, "You want to tie a rope or a winch or something?" He goes, "No." He said, "I cut that tree right down through there." I'm like, he goes, "This is what I do for a living." And so, man, he sure enough, he right before he cut it, something said in my mind, he should take that V, move it over a foot, and cut that V in a foot over from where he's at. But I'm like, the man does this for a living, and I'm going to run over there. He's got a saw longer than me that I can't even pick up, and he's got it with one hand. And I'm like, I'm going to tell him what to do. No, thank you. So he cuts his V in there, and he takes his saw, and he's holding his blade about this long, and he's holding up above his head, and he's cutting with one hand, and he's taking out of the other hand a wedges, and he's taking his 4-pound sledgehammer, and he's driving these wedges in as he's cutting. And I'm just amazed that you can hold the saw and hold a 4-pound sledgehammer with one hand and hammer it, and it makes sense what you're doing. So sure enough, I'm like, oh my goodness, that is unbelievable. And just about the moment I saw that thing, he started cutting, I said, he should turn that V over about a foot because that tree's going to go a certain way and it's going to twist naturally and it's going to fall against the trees and run down the tree line and hit the electricity line and knock it out, and all my neighbors are going to be mad at me. That's actually what happened. So when he cut that tree, it came down. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. And I saw it twisting. I was like, oh, and it twists. I wasn't even upset because I already knew what was going to happen. He was so jacked up. He's like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? I already knew this was going to happen. And it slid down the power lines, and it failed, and all my neighbors started calling, and they said, what happened? I said, somebody dropped a tree on the power line. And my neighbor's like, you know what? It's them blankety-blank construction guys down the road. They don't give a crap about nobody. It's all about them. They're doing this, and they don't think about us. I was like, well, it wasn't all the way down there by the construction guys. He goes, where was it? I said, it was a little closer to my house. He goes, how much closer? I was like, my backyard. I am that guy you called a bad name. So I realized, I'm like, wow, did the lines, have the lines of humanity and the spirit realm blurred sometimes in my life, and I just haven't caught it. I just haven't seen it. And all of a sudden I realized, I said to him, I was like, you know what? Before you cut that tree, I had a thought that came into my head. We should turn that V a foot, and when it twisted, it would fall exactly where you wanted it. He goes, man, I wish you would have told me that. I'm like, me too. My neighbors actually do too. Wish. So what would have happened, you think about it, if I would have stepped into this realm that was open, that I wasn't sure of what it was, then not only would I have benefited, but he would have benefited because I would have said, hey, man, I heard from heaven that I was supposed to cut this tree this way, and it would have fell, and he would have encountered God and never stepped a foot in church, never quit smoking, never quit drinking, and he would have encountered a God. He would have stepped over into this world, and maybe if he'd stepped into this world and tasted the nectar of what was happening, he wouldn't want to go back to green leaves and crawling on the ground anymore. So I asked Pat to come up and share a testimony. Pat, come on.
Amen. So we have been, especially as a prophetic team, trying to move more and more into those areas where we go past where those lines blur and we go up into heaven and however that looks. And I was thinking about a really good illustration of it is when we were in San Francisco, they have new cars. The Google car ultimately is going to drive itself. And we came up behind this car, and it was the most funky-looking, crazy-looking car. And we asked our Uber driver, what is that? He goes, that's a Google car. And so we found it out. Well, we have a new car, and our car, when you're driving down the road, if you get toward a lane, it corrects itself. And it's a crazy feeling when that happens. But somewhere between that and the car completely driving itself is where we're ultimately going. It's the same thing to me with the natural and the spirit realm. And we're going to go to a place where the lines are going to become totally blurred. And you're just going to live in the spirit and be able to live in heaven. And so for me, what Tim wanted me to share is how it's affected my business has been unbelievable. So I just, a lot of times I'm just laying in bed and I just close my eyes and I just imagine myself in a room in heaven. And one of the things that I'm learning is that I can make judgments because of who I am in him. And so I go into this room, and one time I was in there and I was the judge and I was the jury. That was a pretty cool thing. So I thought, I'm going to have a pretty good outcome versus for what I want to have if I'm the judge and jury. And so I'm in this room, and all of a sudden I'm starting to think about judgment. Now, be honest. How many, when you hear the word judgment of God, you think of something that's bad or negative, right? COVID is a judgment. This is a judgment. This is a judgment. But how many know if you went to a courtroom and the judge said, I judge in your favor $1 million. How many would think that's a bad deal?
Wow.
God judges positive things that are decrees that he makes. And so he says, you have this. You have healing. That's a judgment of God. So he's starting to teach me a lot about that. So I'm in this room and this is happening. Well, what started happening is I would just go, and I told Tim, I said, I don't know if I'm in heaven or in my neighbors. I mean, I'm just in my mind. And again, I'm not worried about something negative happening or bad happening to me, because my heart is to have an encounter with him and to grow in him and to godly ways grow my business. And every time I go there and I go into this room, I have new ideas, and I've been sharing lots of them with my agents and our insurance business, and it's changing our business. It's incredible. And so I went, I said, okay, God, I wanna go. And so I just closed my eyes. I'm in this room, and all of a sudden I see these whiteboards everywhere, just huge amounts of them. And even as I'm looking, they're expanding, and this room is opening where there's even more. And all of a sudden I look again, and there's like all of them had like black paper over the top of the whiteboard, and there was one section. And he said, okay, now go and look at that board. And it wasn't like I could read it and see specific things or anything, but I knew that my spirit was picking up on something. And then I had a situation where I just felt like the Lord just said, just breathe in two times. And it was like what I was breathing in was going to be in my system and going to be in my spirit. And one day I'm going to see the result of that, and it's going to be powerful. So I take those two breaths, and I was like the guy that pounded the sword on the ground. I'm like, one more. I'm taking that third. And I just felt like that hunger. God was just saying, I love your hunger, and I have so much for you. And so then during the service, I was in the room again during worship, and I saw one little like a crumb on the ground. I was like, man, I don't know what that is, but I want that. And I went to grab it, and the thing just expanded and exploded, and it was just so big. And it was the Lord was just saying, you have no idea how big the things are that I have for you. And so this morning, as I was just laying in bed and praying, he gave me another idea that's just absolutely, I can't wait to share it with you guys, that's going to revolutionize our business. And he's been doing that. And so many of them, when I started to try and think of some of them, Tim, I couldn't even think of them, because there's so many that are happening in so many different ways. And so my encouragement to you, and where it started with me, is when I realized there's nothing I can do to become good enough or pure enough to come before him. You know, in the Old Testament, you had to purify yourself to go before him, but now we're purified. Otherwise, none of us would ever be able to go. And I think it's the biggest encouragement I have to you that you don't look at yourself and go, man, I just did this, or I was thinking this. It doesn't matter. He doesn't say because you're good enough that when you look at me, you just ravish my heart. It says you ravish my heart because you're you.
Amen.
And it's changed my life. And that, more than anything, has blurred those lines for me.
Amen. So. Good word. So what if all those words and those promises and those things that we have are just waiting on us? You know, what if it says in the Word, it says that the church will be a lender to the nations? Well, shoot, we can't even pay our rent. Unless we manipulate everybody on their tithes. But what if really the abundance of, I don't have to be pure and holy to get to that place, but when I get to that place, I taste it's good, and pure and holy is the only place that I'll go now. Because I've tasted what it's like. Amen? I just think there's another realm, and that realm is there available for us to step into. Okay, so everybody stand up. Page 6. They said that I would never get through these other pages, and they're right. It didn't happen. But it's coming. It's coming. Because I'm just going to keep encountering. As a family group, I want you to just together. So if it's husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, dads, moms, whatever, because I want you to pray for each other. It's inside of you, and I want you to pray for each other. So if you don't have somebody with you, gather with somebody who's around you. So find somebody that you can pray fit with. Or it doesn't matter if it's 3, it doesn't matter if it's 5, it doesn't matter what it looks like. And I want you to pray for each other. And what I want you to do is I want you to pray that our minds are opened to the place that He wants to take us to. That nothing would hinder us from the past. Where we've been in the past wouldn't hinder us where we're going in the future. So go ahead and pray for each other. Break up when you're done, so I'll know you're done. Well, let's don't go that far. Repentance is a sustained change of thinking about the nature of reality. Jesus said it this way, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what He means. Okay? Repent because it's right here. It's right now. Repent because it's inside of you. So repent isn't laying down and begging God. It's just like, oh my goodness, I did not realize that's what that meant. And now I could hold that thinking and change my mind to what I believe now. Amen? Change your thinking because the kingdom of God is here right now. It's here. It's at the moment. We're not waiting to get to heaven to experience all of new creation. We're at this moment. The moment you give your life to the Lord, you become that. Amen? Amen. So let me pray for you. One of the things that I try to do daily is I do pray. But at other times, I just sit before the Lord and I say, Jesus, I love you. And I know you love me. And you don't love me because I've done something good or I've done something bad or you've not withheld. You just absolutely love me. And I know that my relationship, I'm so uniquely made by you that my relationship looks nothing like anybody else's in the whole world. So I should never look at somebody else's life and say, oh, I wish my life was like that or I met God like that because I'm so uniquely made that he uniquely has a relationship with me that looks so uniquely different than anybody else's. But sometimes I want to make it look like everybody else's. So I say, I'm so uniquely made by you that my relationship with you is totally different than anybody else's. You speak to me, you show me things totally different than anybody else's, and it should be that way. Now, I don't know how this whole heaven thing works. I don't know how the angel thing works. I don't know how walking in there works, but I want it. So this today, just keep moving me into that place, moving me into that realm. I want to encounter angels. I want to be aware of these things. I want to be aware of that place. And so I just say that every day, outside of requesting that my friends would be saved and things and blah, blah, blah. Amen. So I'm going to pray for you. So Father, I just say, fill us with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may see and know your kingdom the way you see and know your kingdom. Amen. Thank you so much for being online. Thank you so much for being here. We love you and God bless you guys.